St. John chapter number 1. St. John chapter number 1. The gospel according to Johann. And we have verse number 9 through verse number 13. And it reads, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Can we say amen?
Amen?
God bless you. I want to talk to you from the gospel this morning. Born of God. Born of God. This text is profound because of the fact, and I'm going to have you do some reading today, so you might as well take a few scriptures. Daniel chapter number 8. I'm going to read a couple of verses, 19 and first, and then we'll read verse 12. And then we're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 45. And I want you to follow me because I'm going to talk to you about this very important message, born of God. Now, if I use for a topic, I'd like to ask you, who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Because there's a lot of beings in this earth. All were created by God, but all are not in fellowship with God. There are many that talk about God, but don't know him. There are some that say that God is their father, but they don't look like him. Need to have a DNA check. Because the attributes and characteristics of your father should be detailed in your image. And you should become more like your daddy. The older you get, the more like him you should become. The prophet John was testifying unto the people as he was baptizing and telling his disciples that there should come one after him that was greater than him. And this he spake of him who had the understanding that we lacked. See, light is knowledge and understanding revealed to those who are in darkness and have not the knowledge. Many people are operating on supposition rather than knowledge. The Jews were people that had the knowledge, but refused to let the light shine. It's interesting when you can have all the illumination that you need, but still cannot see what you should be perceiving. This text is curious to my mind because the more that life goes on, the more we mature, the more we should become better people. Since age brings about understanding and experience. Hello, somebody. I had a dream the other day, and it woke me up, or should I say I awoke from that dream. My heart was pounding so hard. I felt the pressure rise in my body. As I awoke, I had to sit on the side of the bed and just wonder at what I had just dreamt. I was leading some people to a worship service. And as we were going through the garage, a car came in filled with men. And these men were the hardest looking men I had ever saw in my life. I'm talking about rough. They look weathered. I mean to tell you, these were young men, but they look old and hard. And they were looking for some mischief to get into. And when I saw them, an evil vibe came from that car they were in. And I ducked down and told the saints to duck down because these fellas were looking to destroy. And as their car passed by, I saw a doorway. And I went and opened that door, thinking that this was the way. And when I opened the door, I was in an outside area. And I saw three things. But the first thing I saw was a huge pack of dogs running after someone or something down the street. I mean, it looked like 20 or 30 dogs. And they weren't little dogs either. They were big dogs, and they were fast after something. And I became nervous because of the fact if any one of them saw me, I said they would probably turn and come get me because they were close to me but chasing something or somebody else. But as I turned to my right, I saw another smaller pack of dogs. But one dog saw me. And he was in a yard, and he came out of the yard and joined the pack. And they start coming at me. And when they came at me, that dog that took the head, he grew. He got larger and larger. And he looked like he was about 6 or 7 feet high. And I turned to run back into the door. And I don't know if you have experienced this before. Have you ever been so afraid that your legs seem like they don't want to move? In the dream, I was trying to get back to the door, and I wasn't moving fast enough, and I saw myself shake. Say, you better get to going, boy. And I ran. I picked up speed then and ran in the door before the dogs could get to me. And I shut the door and I said, I can't believe what's going on out there. So I looked to see where they out there, and they have left. But I saw a car come by, and there was just anarchy in the streets. Some of those hardened fellas I saw had caught a car full of people coming down the street, and they just started killing the people. I looked on the sidewalk, and people were chasing people with knives and guns. They were going just all over the place. People were running from dogs and animals and from people that were trying to do serious damage. And I stood there looking out that window at all this that was happening. People were being killed before my eyes. People were being mangled, attacked by people and animals. And I said, this is nothing but chaos. This is anarchy. Jesus. Where is the deliverance? Uh-huh. And I woke up.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Let me say something to you, saints. The Lord made us in his image and in his likeness in the beginning. But because of sin, your nature changed from a spiritual nature to a carnal nature. Your attitude changed from an attitude of love and concern to an attitude of selfishness and indifference. And the further that mankind has left the garden, the worse we have become. We have become so bad because of the fact we have left the image in which we were created, an image of love. Did you read in your Bible in 1 John that God is love? Amen. Have you ever read that?
Amen.
He that loveth not knoweth not God, because God is love. And if we had kept that image, then our environment would not have been polluted. If we had kept that image, our homes would not have been broken up. The thing that destroyed the first family was a broken home. Yeah, it was broken. It was broken because of sin. And because of sin, not only was his home broken up, first thing that broke was their relationship. She started doing what she wanted to do. He came home from work, came home from tilling the garden, and she done already ate the fruit. She already done changed her idea. But he went along with the program. Help us, Holy Ghost. He ate the fruit, and now the problem of disobedience didn't stop with them. It got in the children. Now, they had many more children than just Cain and Abel. If you read your Bible, they had a whole lot of children. But the focus of attention was on Cain and Abel at this time, so that God could get or convey to us the message so that we could understand the harm that sin will do to our lives. The trouble that was in them got into their home, and their children began to have strife one to another, to the degree that Cain rose up against Abel and killed him. Oh, whatever it was about, you know what the story says. But the end of the matter is still the same. One brother rose up against another. And guess what? We've been doing it ever since. We have been rising up against one another to such a degree that maybe you're not literally pulling your blade out or pulling your pistol out. But this little tongue of yours is sharper and shoots straighter than any blade or pistol could. And we've been killing folk a long time. Hello, somebody. You've got a little weapon in your mouth that can shoot around corners. I didn't know that it could shoot through the telephone. Did you know you could shoot through the telephone? That little weapon gets to doing his business, and out of that telephone become missiles and bullets. And you'd be surprised. You can be in one room and these type of bullets go through walls. Destruction. Where did all this come from? Sin. Sin. And God knew from the beginning what the problem would be. And the scripture says that he determined himself to come and deliver us from our sin. I want you to turn with me to Daniel chapter number 8. Let me give you a little light on a mystery. In Daniel chapter number 8 and verse number 19, there's a scripture that's not readily seen, but it reveals so much because the word is helping us to understand why we're having so many problems. How is it that we could have the breath of God in us and yet perform evil to such a degree that it moved God off the throne? Moved him once to destroy the entire world and save 8 souls alive. Moved him again to put on a body and come into the earth and regenerate us through his blood. What caused this? In Daniel chapter 8 and verse number 19, a nugget is revealed to us when he says, and he said, behold, I will make you know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. Now, 2 ends are in view in this prophecy or this word. One end was of the empire that was troubling God's people. But a greater understanding is the understanding of an indignation that did not start in the Garden of Eden, but an indignation that started in heaven. Jesus told his disciples that I saw Satan fall from heaven as lightning. When did Satan fall from heaven? It was before Adam, because when Adam was put in the garden, Satan had already entered into the serpent and was right there too. So he was already cast to the earth. And the scripture teaches us through understanding that when God created the firmament in the earth and divided the waters from the waters, he did not say that that was good, but he said it was so. Everything else he said was good, but when he divided the firmament from the firmament, divided, should I say, the waters from the waters by creating a firmament in the midst of the waters called heaven or the atmosphere of earth, then it loosed something into the atmosphere that God was aware of, but he wasn't pleased with, but it had a plan. I don't have time to go into all of that understanding. You're going to have to be in some of my Bible classes or do a little extra reading for yourself to understand that the indignation that broke out in heaven was when Satan rose up to make himself like the Most High God. In the 14th chapter of Isaiah, and the, what is that, 27 and 28 chapter of Ezekiel, you can read the story of how Lucifer, the light bearer, the covering cherub, who walked in the midst of the stones of fire in the presence of the Lord, who carried the light of worship from one planet to another. He rose up against God, and God banished him from heaven, the third heaven, the dwelling place of God, to a place where he was confined until God worked a work in that place and revealed a firmament in the midst of the waters, which loosed him for a season. And because he overpowered our father Adam, he took upon himself the title Prince of the Power of the Air. This indignation that he committed in heaven, along with a third of the angels that followed him, now was brought to the earth. Now this indignation was revealed in the earth. And when God recreated the earth, we read in Genesis 1 and 2, until now, we understand what had happened. But before Genesis 1 and 2, we only know one thing. God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning. But we find that in the midst of the time period between the first and the second verse of the first chapter of Genesis, that a whole lot of things happened. And the indignation that broke out in heaven, now we find and understand now that God said, in the last days, in the last time, it's going to be brought to an end finally. And guess who God put on the scene of time to deal with the last days, the last time, when the indignation shall be brought to an end? Guess who's on the scene of time to deal with this matter? You and I.